Fine. As I was watching the kids up here, you know, I saw, you know how we've been studying about the harvest and the laborers, and I saw, and I was just like, wow, I was just praying, Lord, we pray for the laborers. I see laborers, they're laborers for your kingdom, and it just kind of hit me, and God's just impressing this upon us as a church. We have to get ready. There's a lot going on in the world, in the spirit realm. As many of you know, there's an election coming, and the world at any time could just go crazy left, crazy right. And I just sense in my spirit that He's preparing us for being strong and having Jesus Christ as the cornerstone, no matter what. And I see that in you, and I see that no matter what, you've gone through some stuff, and you're rising up above your circumstances, and you're growing, and I believe, and I saw these kids, and I said, yes, they're going to be rocks, they're going to be solid, they're going to be laborers for the kingdom, and we're going to prepare. And when the world begins to throw curveballs at the humanity, there's going to be people that are going to rise up with joy and peace through it all, and people are going to come running to Jesus. And I'm not prophesying that something catastrophe is going to happen. I just know that God is preparing us spiritually to be real and to be Jesus Christ, cornerstone people. Amen. And nothing else. Everything else doesn't matter. And I get excited when I saw our young people come up, and it's just confirmation that God is preparing us for something so much bigger than ourselves. And that's what this has been about the last few weeks and months. I'm going to start with the graphic of the cornerstone that we've been going through. And this is what God's calling us to be, people with Jesus Christ as their cornerstone. And we've gone through it the last few weeks. We started off with just the cornerstone, with having a strong foundation. And I talked specifically about taking no offense and honoring authority and having order in what we do. And I keep using this example. We cannot bring in people that are looking for Jesus to a church that's all offended. Amen? This is, you know, out of all the topics, these two stuck out because in the church, there's too many people offended. The Bible tells us to not hold bitterness and to forgive and to let go, right? And that's a foundational point that as the harvest comes in, the church of God cannot be offended. What did Jesus say? Look what they did to me. They're going to do the same to you. Just move on. Stand up for what's right. And so that was the basic of the first month of September. Then we moved into the church. As you can see there, we talked about the church, the characteristics, the gifts of the Spirit, how it's important to do things in order, and the gifts, and you operate them the way God intends it. The most important thing about that is that the gifts are not to glorify us. Amen? You know, when I see people come to the altar, and I want people to always feel free to come to the altar during worship and praise, but never come because you want someone to pay attention to you. It's always about, I'm reacting to a Spirit of God moving in my life, and I want to give Him honor and reverence, and I want to show surrender. It's kind of like an act of just surrender to Him. And that should always be our mindset, because once you start having altars and people coming up so people can see that, oh, it's the spiritual people that come up, that's when you start getting out of order. Amen? You're getting this? Because this is, churches easily just start, God starts moving, and it becomes a show. But when you come, and you're coming because you just want to show your praise and your worship and your adoration to your loving God who's forgiven you of all your sins, you come with that heart and that attitude, and when you come, it will impact people to experience God. Amen? And that's exciting, and I encourage that. But always make sure that it's not about a show. And I don't feel that at all in our altar calls, in our worship. But it's always something we should make sure it's done in order and check our hearts. Amen? Amen. And then love. what does the Bible say? You can have all these beautiful gifts, but if you don't love, it's nothing. So that's important. Praise and worship. Love, praise, and worship. Michelle and the worship team are doing an amazing job staying focused on Jesus. You know, that could be a challenge as a worship leader because you got talents, you got music, you got different things you're trying to work through, but through it all, none of it really matters unless you're praising Jesus. And they have to keep that in perspective when they go forward. And today, I'm going to change that from advocate righteousness to advance righteousness. You know, the church, we're supposed to advance righteousness. What is righteousness? God is righteousness. God is love. God is righteousness. And God loves righteousness. And the Bible says that our righteousness is as filthy rags. So that pretty much tells us what we need to know about us. I've said this before. You might want to write this one down, or I'll give it to you for free, no charge. But our goodness without Christ is filthy rags. In other words, when you try to be good without Jesus Christ being the center of it, because the Bible says we are born sinners because of Adam. So being good, as the world defines good, is not righteousness. Jesus Christ is righteousness. So I wanted to talk about, we as a church, we're supposed to advance righteousness. And I need to change that here because I don't want to, I like advance better than advocate. So I'm going to make sure I don't say advocate. Advance righteousness. So I want you to turn quickly to 1 Peter chapter 1:16, and I'm going to go through this pretty quick. I know I just feel like we need to get to these points and then kind of wrap it all up because I believe that it's important to put it all together and know what's happening. Why is God asking us to prepare for the harvest? Let's go. 1 Peter chapter 1:16. Because it is written, be holy, for I am holy. Okay? Pretty straightforward, right? I'm going to read four scriptures real quick. Romans 3:23. Romans 3:23. This one says, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Everyone sinned. Amen? Amen. Romans 6:23 says, I'm going to put them all together. Bear with me here. For the wages of sin is death. But the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ. Last one, and then I'm going to put them all together. Romans chapter 8, verse 1. There is therefore no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus who walk not after the flesh, but who walk after the Spirit. Let me put those together. You know, if you were to take each one of these individually, without looking at the whole content, I mean, I've talked to you about that before. When you read scripture, make sure you don't just take one scripture and then say, okay, I'm going to act on that. You make sure you understand God's character, who he is, what he's trying to do, right? He's trying to save humanity through love, right? Keep that in perspective. So when we read these individually, like 1 Peter 1:16 said, be holy for I am holy. Well, none of us are perfect. How can we ever meet that standard? Right? So if you just take that scripture, you're like, oh, I'm just not going to make it. But then there's another scripture that says, all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. Well, we're all sinners. Be holy. That doesn't make sense. But the Bible also says the wages of sin is death. Well, if we're all sinners, then we're all going to die. then the Bible says in Romans 8 that there's no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. When you take this whole thing together, if you take them individually, you could start your own religion on one of these concepts. But if you take them all together, when the Bible says, be holy for I am holy, it is saying we need to advance righteousness. We need to advance righteousness. When the Bible says all have sinned and fallen short, is to tell us that we all need a Savior because we're all sinners. When the Bible says the wages of sin is death, it means that sin is the reason for death. Not because God is mean, but sin equals death. And we've all sinned. But because of Jesus Christ, death turns to life. Amen? And because of that, there's no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. So it all does work together. We're sinners needing a Savior. But we have Jesus Christ. We have Him. So I wanted to... Everything that happens in your life revolves around God's plan for humanity, for you. And I wanted to... Somebody told me something on a Tuesday night about... I had done a series, or somebody reminded me, and I wanted to show this because I went back to look at it. I did a series once on God's character. God's character is what? For what is He trying to do to you? And I want to put those up. It was the second slide on the PowerPoint. Whatever is happening in your life, understand that all things work together for God, for those who are in Christ Jesus, for good, for those who are in Christ Jesus. Never forget that. All things work together for good, for those who are in Christ Jesus. So when you're going through hard times and you're going through trials and you don't understand, don't ever doubt that God is a good God and good things are coming. But he's in a process, because his character for you is this. He's pursuing you. That's his character, to pursue you. It is his character to show the world his glory through you. Wherever you are in life, he has his characteristic, his goal is to show the glory of who he is to the world through you. Well, you know, in order for that to happen, we got to get refined. We're getting salt, you know, we're being the wound, salt. We're going through it. That's why we go through hard times, trials, because he's perfecting us. And so whatever you're going through, know that his goal is to for his glory to shine through you. And his character is to lead you to greatness. And greatness comes through humility. So think about that. Whatever's happening to you, he's trying to humble you. Oh, Lord, please. Too much humility. But it's all good. Because when we're teachable, then as God continues to do these things, greatness comes out. Greatness. And he wants, it is his character to give you his best. It's his character to give you his best, like the prodigal son that came back. God didn't bring the beans and rice. No. He gave him the best of the best. The fajitas, right? Not just the beans and rice. The fatted calf in Bible times. He gave him the best of the best. God's character is to give you his best. You're on that journey. And I love the last one. Always. His character is to transform what seems dead to life. I love that one. And all of you in here are a testimony to that. We are dead. Amen. And because we accepted Jesus Christ, there's life in us. Amen. And we live. So even though the wages of sin is death, we live for eternity because there's no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. Hallelujah. Amen. Isn't that a beautiful gospel? It's a beautiful gospel. It really is. In John 14:6, Jesus says very plainly and very clearly, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but by me. You cannot be good enough to get to the Father. You cannot work your way in all your goodness that you can think of to get to the Father. It's through our faith in Jesus Christ, because we're all sinners and the wages of sin is death. And the only way we avoid eternal death is through Jesus Christ. Amen? That is the gospel. That is truth. Ephesians 2 and 9 says, Ephesians 2, 8 and 9, for by grace are ye saved through faith. I love this. And that not of yourself. It's not because you're good looking. Amen? Amen. Hey, I like that confidence, Brother Cassandra. It's not because you're good looking. Not of yourself. It is a gift of God. Jesus Christ, the gift. Why do you celebrate Christmas? Because the gift was given to the world. Amen? So, it is a gift of God. It's not because you work hard that you can get to heaven. Not of works. Lest any man should boast. Because it's not about us boasting about ourselves. You can't get to heaven because you worked harder than someone else at church. Without love, you're nothing. Amen? So by grace are we saved. So I'm getting to the whole point of advancing righteousness. So number one, Jesus is the only way. He made that clear. Number two, it's not about yourself and your works. By faith, believing that Jesus Christ died for our sins and through him we're justified. And because of Jesus, we don't have to pay the consequences of sin, which is death. Because of Jesus, it's a beautiful gift given to us. That's why when we praise and worship him, and we remember, Lord, thank you for saving me. Don't ever forget that. No matter how old you get in Christ or how many years you've been serving the Lord, the fact that Jesus died for your sins, there should always be passion there. Amen? Amen? That is it. That is the simplicity of the gospel. There is passion just in that. Jesus died for me. I'm not perfect, but that's okay. But I'm supposed to be holy, so God help me. And it all works together. Romans verse chapter 6, verse 1. And we're almost done here. Romans chapter 6, verse 1. Since we can't work our way, salvation comes through Jesus Christ. Paul answers a very important question, because he was telling them, you're no longer under the law. You don't have to follow the laws anymore, like, you know, sacrificing a lamb for your sins. You don't have to do any of that anymore. Your faith is under Jesus Christ now, so you're free. Wow. He paid it all. You're free. But some of them thought that freedom meant that they can do whatever they want and they're still saved. And so Paul made it very clear. He's saying, okay, now that you're free, what shall I say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? In other words, hey, since I'm saved by grace, let me sin and show the world how wonderful grace is. See how the enemy starts corrupting things? So Paul makes it very clear. So he's asking a question in jest, right? Sarcastically. What shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? God forbid. That's a no for those of you who think, because you're saved by grace, that you can do whatever and everything's going to be okay. Paul says, no. How shall we that are dead to sin live any longer therein? When we, you know that water baptism, when you die and you come up new in Jesus Christ, that means that your spirit is now alive and you are destined to perfection. Your spirit, you're destined to be perfected. And that's what it's saying here. when we're dead to sin, we don't live there anymore. Now, ye know that there are so many of us that were baptized into Jesus Christ, were baptized into his death. Therefore, we are buried with him by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. Very clear that when we come to Christ, we're supposed to walk in a newness of life. For if we have been planted together in the likeness of his death, we shall be also in the likeness of his resurrection. Knowing this, that our old man is crucified, that the body of sin might be destroyed, that henceforth we should not serve sin. Your sinful nature is crucified. It's dead. I know what you're thinking. Well, then how come it keeps waking up? Well, Paul answers that question. Let's go to Romans chapter 6. Romans chapter 7, verse 22. So if we're new and my sinful nature is dead, crucified with Christ, then why do I feel like I sin? Or I still get off track once in a while? Well, I love Paul's honesty, and this is one of my favorite scriptures because it makes it so vivid. Paul, the great apostle, admits in this scripture that he struggles with sin. Isn't that refreshing? Hey, none of us are perfect. It's okay. Even Paul. And this is what he said in Romans chapter 7, verse 22. For I delight in the law of God after the inward man. The inward man meaning the spirit that woke up when you got saved. That's your inward man, the spirit in you that woke up. He says, I delight in the law of God after the inward man. But I see another law in my member, in my body, warring against the law of my mind and bringing me into captivity to the law of sin, which is in my body, in my member. Oh, wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of this death? Paul's having a very honest moment. And it's important that all of us understand that none of us are perfect. But here's the beauty of it all. Jesus Christ. Well, let me read it. Here it is in verse 8. After he says all of this, in chapter 8, verse 1. There is therefore no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. This is how righteousness needs to be advanced. It is true that we are not perfect. And we sometimes sin creeps in. We get angry when we need to apologize. We don't love like we should, or we do something, that little lie to get us out of trouble, to our boss, breaking law. All of those are sins, aren't they? And yet, here's the truth. We are saved because of Jesus Christ. By faith, by grace, are we saved. Amen. And that's a given. But our sinful nature creeps up. But our response to this should not be, oh, I guess everyone makes mistakes. Our response to this should be advance righteousness. Amen. Amen? Our response to our own faults, our sin, should always be to keep advancing righteousness. You know what that means? Don't make excuses for what's wrong. Oh, that's hard. Oh, you got to look down deep now. Down deep. But that is the trick of the enemy. Every time we feel like we're not on the right path, on the right track, our growth is stalled. Every time we feel there, the devil wants you to beat yourself and stop growing. You know what God wants you to do? Get on your knees and advance righteousness. Amen? That's the answer. Whenever you have problems, whenever you know the enemy wants you, oh, you can't go to church now. You're not living right. You're making mistakes. You don't feel God close to you right now. You know, let things calm down and then get in God's presence. That's the enemy. Our answer always is to be more of God, more in His presence. Be where He is. Get on our knees. Advance righteousness. That is God wanting. He's pursuing us. He wants that for us. So our answer, and all of us are sinners, so all of us can relate. When you hit those moments, when you're struggling with sin or with putting God first and you're doubting, how come I can't be a strong Christian like so-and-so? And you're having these, Lord, I'm just going to pity party over here. When you're having those moments, get on your knees and advance righteousness. Amen. Do it. And you'll start seeing, wow. Because He forgives us every time. He loves us. And the reason why you're righteous and you're holy, right standing before God, even though you do sin, is because Jesus paid it all. But because He paid it all, as Paul said, does that give us an excuse to sin? God forbid. You got it? In your life, when you go home and you start praying like this, Lord, I'm getting it. I got it. Okay, I'm not perfect. Nobody is. But I can still keep growing because I just have to be passionate. Be in the spirit, not in the flesh. Continue to advance righteousness. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 13. Last scripture in closing. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 13. Wherefore, what does that mean, gird up your loins? That's King James Version. Wherefore, gird up your loins of your mind. In other words, focus. Focus. Be determined. Be intentional in this. Be sober. Amen. Don't get drunk. Be sober. Amen. Anybody want? Amen. And hope to the end for the grace that is to be bought unto you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. As obedient children, not fashioning yourself according to the former lust in your ignorance. In other words, before you got saved, you didn't even think about righteousness, right? You just did whatever, felt good. That was it, right? Now Jesus comes into the picture and you have this fight between two natures, as Paul described, your sinful nature and your spirit nature. There's a fight. Be obedient, but as He which hath called you as holy, so be ye holy, because it is written, be holy, for I am holy. And if you call on the Father, who without respect of person judges according to every man's work, past time of your sojourning here in fear. For as much as ye know that ye were not redeemed with corruptible things as silver and gold from your vain conversation received by tradition from your father, but you were redeemed, you were bought with the precious blood of Christ. As a lamb without a single blemish. He was sinless. Jesus was sinless and He was without a spot. And He died for you to advance righteousness. Didn't that get you excited that, you know, there's a lot of religious games that are played by people like so-and-so is more religious or more holy or more this. Whenever you hear that kind of talk, that's childish. It's like a child. My dad has a better car than your dad. Just throw it away. We're all on a journey. We're all sinners. We all have a calling. We're going on our own pace. We got a journey. You're beautifully and wonderfully made, just as you are. But now it's refreshing. Now you can go and say, okay, I'm going to advance righteousness. When I have trouble with sin in my life, I'm not going to excuse it. I'm going to say, okay, Lord. Because the Bible promises, be filled. Here's the scripture you need to write down if you have this constant battle with sin. Be filled with the Spirit and you will not fulfill the lusts of the flesh. Amen. So when you're struggling to live according to this word, your next step is to get on your knees and repent and say, God, I need you to teach me what it means to be filled. Because there's your answer. There's your answer. Go get more filled. The answer when we're struggling is not to stay away from God's presence, to stay away from church, to stay away from reading our Bible, to stay away because I don't feel clean. Well, join the club. Nobody is clean enough. That's when it's time to run to the cross. More Bible, more prayer, more church, more whatever, more of God. And sure, you may come down looking down, but keep fighting. Keep fighting. That's what it means by gird up your loins of your mind. Keep fighting. Keep fighting. So all of this is to encourage us to keep advancing righteousness because the enemy is advancing darkness. You see it at school. You see it in our country. There's a battle, big spiritual battle. God's preparing the harvest. And we need to be able, the reason why I believe we're learning this right now is because when people come asking you questions about your faith, you're going to advance righteousness. The harvest needs to hear the truth about living right and doing right, which is a quote from Pastor Green from 20 years ago. Live right and do right. Advance righteousness in your life. Advance it. Teach people. The little kids that were up here, the youth, they need to see you advancing righteousness. They need to see you stop making excuses for what doesn't line up with this word. They need to see the real deal. And if you're not perfect, you make mistakes. I think Alyssa touched on that. Tell them, I need to do better here, but God's going to get me through. Let them see what's real. So the harvest needs to see us advancing righteousness. I really believe that a season is coming. Actually, I really believe it's already begun. Where God is going to call people back to Him and God is preparing you to be laborers. Amen. You're like, me? I'm struggling with my own walk. Everybody is. See, we compare ourselves to each other too much. The Bible says, don't compare yourself to others. You got your own journey. You got it. And you are called. The characteristic, God's character is to for His glory to shine through you. Amen. You. With all your sins and all. He wants to shine. He wants the world to see the light and of His glory through each and every one of you. With no exception. Advance righteousness. Advance righteousness. Care for people. Love people. Help others. That's so important. Helping others whenever you get a chance to serve. If you can sign up for next Saturday, sign up. If you can serve, even though it may be boring, and I might just serve, expecting nothing in return. Serve. Because when you begin to serve, God will turn around and pour His blessings upon you. You don't do it for receiving. You do it for loving. But God is a just God. He's a rewarder of those who diligently seek Him. That's who He is. So, if you don't leave with anything today, leave with this. Be determined to advance righteousness. When you make mistakes, get on your knees and advance righteousness in your life. And get ready. God's going to start sending people your way. They're going to ask for advice. They're going to want to know what to do in this situation or that situation. Your laborers. The Bible says pray for the laborers. We're praying for laborers. And we're not just talking about laborers going through the motions. Real people who don't make excuses for sin, who advance righteousness. God is on the move. He's on the move. Let's all bow our heads and close our eyes. Heavenly Father, as a church, Lord, I am so thankful that this is a body of believers determined to grow, determined to advance righteousness, determined to not give up. I thank you, Lord, that we're going to battle together. I thank you, Lord, that you've called this army of believers to go to battle together in love. As Alyssa mentioned earlier, these are people that aren't trying to get at each other. This is a group of an army soldiers that are not interested in lifting themselves up higher than somebody else. But we have decided to humble ourselves and advance righteousness together as a church body. Lord, we know we're not perfect. We recognize, Lord, that our sinful nature will creep up from time to time. But your word tells us that Jesus Christ paid it all. Your word tells us that if we are filled with the Spirit, that the sinful nature will die more and more. Lord, we're on this journey together as a church. And there's individuals that are going through some stuff in their life. And it just overwhelms us. Lord, you promised us that the yoke that you carry is light. Lord, teach us to put these things on your shoulders. We were not created to carry all the burdens. That's why you died. Lord, wherever we may be, today you've called this church to gird up their loins and to advance righteousness. What is right is right. What is wrong is wrong. We receive that message, Lord. We receive it. We leave this place today on a mission to advance who you are, righteousness. We're on a mission that when people, when the harvest begin to ask questions, Lord, you will give us words to say. We surrender to your will, Lord. You take over our lips, Lord. You speak through us. Shine your glory through us. We are determined, Lord. We're preparing. We're being obedient. We're preparing for a harvest. People coming to you. And we're preparing to be ready. That when your power comes and changes lives, we have made a decision. No man will glory in the presence of God. Only to you, Lord. All the honor and glory goes to you. We point people not to a ministry, not even to a church building, but to the precious, spotless Lamb, Jesus Christ. Lord, go with us. We advance righteousness on your behalf. In Jesus' name.